AM 700 KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us at our studios at 9th and Gamble. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, David.
You look fit. Do you work out?
I worked out last night with my younger son. We went and did a little back and biceps last night. Yeah, it was good.
Well, obviously, we allow guns in the studio because look at those two that you brought with you.
Bring them in. That's funny.
We're going to have an interesting conversation this morning. A lot of generalities. I want to follow up on a lot of things that we've touched on over the last couple of years. I'm going to start with when do you know when you have helped a person who visits your office?
That's a good question. They'll tell you, just like they tell you when they come in and they say, I have this, that, or the other thing. And when we evaluate and figure out what's going on and find the cause of the problem and we remove that cause, usually the problem is resolved. Now, sometimes people will, like we have, when people come in and they have a baby that needs to be turned,
yes,
right? We'll have a pregnant mommy and, I have a breech baby. And then we'll do our technique to turn baby, and then we won't see them. And then they'll come back years later and they'll say, how'd that go? Oh, yeah, it's turned. So they don't call and tell you. Sometimes people will say, because we have we have our note system, and our note system has little numbers, and that we have the analog pain scale. Okay, I'm a 10 today. I'm a little bit better today. I'm a 4. Now I'm a 7. I hate the pain scale because it's pain, right? And we don't want to base everything on pain,
right.
But that's for our note system. And there's really not a note system out there that says, oh, look, we're doing better. We're doing how's your homeostasis? How are we functioning today? How are you adapting to the world? We don't have those kind of note systems. We have what's your pain level today? So that's one way we find people are getting better or worse and or changing by the use of their visual analog pain scale.
Do you have to have a connection with your patients when they come into your office?
I think we make a connection. If we don't make a connection, that patient doesn't stay around very long. But we have to make a connection with each and every one, and we have to meet them where they are on their biological continuum from birth to death, and we have to figure out what they're doing, and we have to make a connection. And if you don't make a connection, if they don't understand what they're doing in your office or why they're there for their own reasons, of course, but they'll figure it out. And if you can't make a connection with them, it doesn't work that well. And then we have other providers.
How important is honesty between a chiropractor and a person or a patient?
You have to be honest. We saw, my boy sent me a TikTok yesterday of this so-called chiropractor and saying that we've been lying and all the people are lying. And he's got like 11 million views or something like that. So he's promoting poo-pooing chiropractic,
right,
as a chiropractor. And he's not being honest. He's lying to the public because he's trying to say that what we're doing is false. Well, he has no scientific basis for that because we do. We have our science behind it. Chiropractic is based on science. And we always tell the truth. And that's the one thing at our office that I know we do is you can come in for an opinion, a second opinion, a third opinion. Your only opinion. You come in with whatever you have, and we'll always tell you the truth. We'll always give you our optimum recommendation on what we've seen over the last 27 and Dr. Foley 20 some years of chiropractic practice, and see what's going on, and we'll give you our recommendations. But we'll always tell you the truth. I mean, whatever you need, it's we're going to base that care on you, patient centered care versus I think that you need this because I need this. We don't do that
because your service is so patient centered. Is it possible for patients to hide problems within their body?
Oh, yeah. So, like yesterday, little things. Oh, by the way, do you do anything with ankles? Because I've had ankle problems for years. I'm like, dude, I've been seeing you for how long? And you just want to tell me you have an ankle? Well, yeah. So we adjust an ankle because we do extremity adjustments.
Yes.
I think there's nothing wrong with doing extremity adjustments. And but people will tell you different things. I had one guy that I've known since I've been here. And he's an interesting fella. And I don't know how many years ago, but he told me, he says, by the way, you do anything with jaws? I said, why? He says, I've had jaw problems for like 30 years. I said, what? We gave him one temporomandibular joint adjustment. He's never had a jaw problem since. But yeah, they'll hide that. They'll say, oh, by the way, because they don't think as a chiropractor, well, you can't do that.
Right.
But sometimes we can.
Just as the body heals itself, does the individual have to want to heal themselves?
It helps, doesn't it? Because you can make yourself sick or you can make yourself well. And we know that thoughts, traumas, and toxins, thoughts are one of those things that cause a subluxation. The emotional impact that you can put upon yourself is huge. And we want to decrease that stress. But if you don't want to get well, you probably won't. Even though chiropractic is going to help you get well, there is that attitude of, you know, I don't really want to be well. There is a diagnosis out there, and I don't want to make it light for the people that have it. But there's a diagnosis out there because everybody wants a diagnosis.
Yes, they do.
But it's a syndrome where you have pain everywhere, and you have these certain trigger points. A lot of those people want to reach for that diagnosis because they don't want to do the things that they were supposed to do. So there's a lot of people out there that just want to boo. And we do have those.
When a person wants to heal, what of their own resources must they draw on from?
Oh, that's a good one. You have to rely on the body's ability to heal. And that's number one. We know that it can heal. We know that it has the ability if you give it the chance. Now, we talk about constructive survival values and destructive survival values. If we have more in our good pile than we have in our bad pile, we're going to be better, right? And we want to make sure that we do more things right. We want to make sure we're eating well, sleeping well, thinking well. We want to make sure we have control of our finances because apparently that's a big thing, right? That's a stress, right? So we want to make sure we have all those things in our good pile versus, you know, let's not drink as much. Let's not eat as much crap. Let's smoke a little. So we want to make sure we do the things that we are doing better. And that helps the patient get well. And we, of course, have to find the cause of the problem. And the cause of the problem, when you come in, as Hippocrates said, look well to the spine for the cause of all disease. We look for the spine to find the cause of the problem. And that would be a subluxation in the nervous system, in the spinal system, so we want to remove that.
You know, I always wondered how Hippocrates sounded. I really have. What do you see before you when you are about to introduce chiropractic into a human body? Do you have a vision for that body?
Let me think. If I have a vision, I don't know if I have a vision. Well, if we have the resource of X-ray available for us with that particular patient, I can see them a little more clearly. And then it gives me a different vision versus just guessing and trying to figure things out. We had a guy yesterday, and he's been through the ringer. He's been shot. He's been beat up. He's had a bunch of different problems. And when we did our examination, not a lot of orthopedic neurological tests positive, and range of motion was decent, but there was something going on in there. So my vision was a little bit different than what he was presenting. But he was in a lot of pain.
Yes.
That was his reason for coming in. And so when we did say, you know what? Sometimes you have that intuition. I'm taking an X-ray, and we saw severe degenerative changes in the lower cervical. We saw compression fractures. We saw the osteoarthritis, which is the degenerative process, and his spine was an absolute mess. And some people will present differently than others. So when we get that intuition, we have to see what's going on here.
Right.
So and other times we don't. So we don't need that. Young children, pregnant ladies, we don't usually take X-rays. So we see that. And then that vision's a little bit different for that. That goal for him is going to be a little bit different. Sure, he's going to be out of pain pretty quick because he's been dealing with these problems for years and years and years. But now our goals are a little bit different.
And is each and every patient who visits your office, is it a different vision?
Yeah. So they all have their different nuances. Everybody's
right.
Everybody's different. And, some people we have that are just the extreme athletes that just want to get better and better and better. And some people just want to be able to get off the couch and walk. So it's a totally different aspect from one person to the other.
Because you've been in town so long, you've been practicing for so long, do you instinctively know your patients now?
No. some I do, some I don't. And some... you have those patients that come in, and all of a sudden they had these problems for years, and we got to the cause of the problem. We removed the interference, and they're going to tell everyone, and they're going to be your chiropractic disciple, and they're going to just you never see them again. So because they got what they needed, and so you try to find out what's going on with that patient, what they need, and we try to help them, and we try to make it about them. And if we do that, then we'll succeed, and we'll help that person.
What are you drawn to, Todd Kersey, in being a chiropractor?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I really do like to help people, and it's tough because I might put those patients first before a lot of other things, and that's tough on a you know, the work-life balance, the work-life balance. That doesn't exist. you know, it would be nice to enjoy things, but I try to be there for them, maybe a little bit too much. I'm running back and forth to Scottsdale because I made a little practice. Now I have to be there. I have to be there every couple weeks. I have to be here, and I have to be, you know, well, can you come in earlier? Can you stay late? So it's a different life, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's, you know, it's perfect, but, you know.
It works. You are a healthcare professional. What are the big problems of health today that are coming into your office?
Oh, man. I think it's the lack of desire to actually be well, like we were talking earlier. Like I was reading some statistics yesterday about a guy in Australia was making this research, and he was saying that, you know, 80% of the people really don't need healthcare. They don't, the disease and crisis care that we offer. It's only about 16% of the people they're seeing regular medical doctors for their disease and crisis, and it goes down to 2% of the people that are actually going to hospitals. So it was interesting, and he was talking about the change of the healthcare system and what we want to do. Why should we base it on disease and crisis care when that's only 20% of the population? Why don't we have a new healthcare system that's designed on health and wellness? I'm like, wow, sounds like a chiropractor,
right?
But he's not. He's a medical doctor, so and a researcher in Australia. So it was interesting to see. I don't know what the question was, but that was what I want to see. I want to see people get well. I want to see them focus on health so we can prevent problems versus wait until we're sick and then get a treatment for our diagnosis instead of trying to live well without subluxation and without interference.
When you think about the future, what do you think we'll be facing in the next 5 to 10 years if we don't address it now in terms of our health and wellness, which you just talked about?
Boy, I think we're still based on that fear of these pandemics and viruses,
right,
and everything else, right? So I think if we stay with that fear, there's an increase. Okay, well, you know, cold and flu season and weather and changes and environment, and yeah, okay, we have this virus, we have that virus. We are always going to have viruses out,
right,
there. We're always going to have bacteria out there. That's not the killer. It's the lack of adaptation from within that's the killer, right? When we fail to adapt to the outside environment. So we have to make that internal environment stronger and healthier. And I think that's what we need to focus on. And if we don't do that, there's going to be more fear, and there's going to be decreased immune function from increased fears and the stresses of the environment. And we have to get away from that. We have to know that, okay, there's things out there. What can I do to better myself in order to avoid those problems?
Does Todd Kersey's philosophy of life coincide with Dr. Todd Kersey's chiropractic philosophy?
Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay.
Yes, it absolutely does. I don't take drugs. I have not taken a prescription drug in my adult life that I know of. And I say my adult life because when I was a kid, I don't know if I had anything. My dad was big into herbs and supplements and everything else.
Sure.
He wasn't a healthcare provider, but we didn't take drugs as a kid, so I don't ever remember taking any. Maybe I know that someone, when we were kids, took some baby aspirin, the whole bottle. I don't know who, if it was me or my brother, but I know that was a big stink back in the day. But I don't remember doing that, and I don't live that. We do work out. We do eat well, although my boy made a lasagna last night, and I had half a pan, and I don't eat lasagna, but it was real good, Dave. So there are those things that we do, but I get adjusted. I take supplements just,
yes,
because I think they're helpful, and I do live that lifestyle. So it does coordinate. There is no oh, he does this here, but he does that there. No, I try to live the chiropractic lifestyle, whatever that is, a philosophy of better health from within versus waiting for outside. outside factors to make me better.
Dr. Kersey, when you put mortality at the end of our life up against chiropractic, what's your consensus as to chiropractic's influence on our mortality?
Well, there's the old saying, Dave, adding more life to your years as well as adding years to your life. And I really do think that is what we see. We add life to the people's years by removing the interference and allowing them to have a healthier, happier life with chiropractic care. And I really do think it adds years, because if we are having a what starts as a subluxation, the cause of the problems, and that leads to a dis-ease, a lack of ease, and that leads to disease process, and that leads to dysfunction and death, well, if we remove that early, I think that really does add years to your life.
In the chiropractic industry, do you find a lot of different mentalities, personalities, and ideologies, or is it everybody pretty much on the same page from the same old school of thought?
Wouldn't that be nice if we were all on the same page?
Yeah, obviously, you're not.
And there's medical doctors in their profession that some believe one thing, some believe the other. Mm-hmm. There's any organization, you're always going to have the outliers, and you're always going to have the mainstream, and that little graph that goes up and down,
yes,
little sine wave. It would be nice if we all thought one way, but it's not. Some people want drugs and minor surgery in chiropractic. One person wants to do hot rocks. Some people want to adjust, and a lot of us, most of us, remove nerve interference by using the adjustment to get to the cause of the problem of your symptoms, which is that adjustment to remove the interference. Now, there's a lot of people that don't do that. I became the president of the Chiropractic Society 10 years ago because there was a little fight. There was a guy that wants to come in, and he wants to do it his way, and he wants to change chiropractic and change the laws and increase scope and do all these other things. Why don't we focus on what we do well and not worry about the other things? So there are, and the guy on TikTok yesterday talking about chiropractic doesn't, well, you can't change spines and you can't do this and you can't, no. And that guy needs to be removed. But that's social media. You can say anything you want.
Right.
All of a sudden, everybody believes it. So there's a lot of people out there, and there's the TikTok and the YouTubes. I don't know what to do with that, because there's people come in. Do you use that towel around my neck and pull up real hard? I don't. I don't think it's a specific chiropractic adjustment, but he's making a lot of money on YouTube and TikTok and everything else. So there are those different views out there, and they're trying to make money by either TikTok views, YouTube mm-hmm. views, or doing every other thing in their office besides chiropractic. And we've had patients come in and say, oh, what are you doing? I'm going to adjust your spine. Well, I went to a chiropractor. He didn't adjust me. Well, okay, that's one way to do it, but it's not chiropractic. So there are different views. But I'd say a large majority of us feel the same way. And then there are people on the outsides, on both ends, that want the major medical. They're more medical doctors, and they want to base their care on symptoms and treat those things from outside. And then there's the way other side.
Do you consider yourself an outspoken doctor of chiropractic?
I'd say I'm not afraid to be outspoken about what I believe and what I see and what I know and what research shows. I think that I'm fairly outspoken just because I'm a loud Italian from New Jersey.
Yes,
right?
You are.
But
you.
I think there's a lot of people out there, and we, and I'm not saying I'm the best or I'm this, I'm that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I'm a chiropractor, and we just decide to tell it as it is. But, yeah.
Are you ever inclined to temper your thoughts, your ideas, and speech within the circle of your chiropractic community?
All day, every day. So I'm speaking in Iowa this weekend, right? On,
yes.
On Saturday, I get to speak to a group, and I'm not like, oh, I'm going to go in there and do this. I'm scared to talk to these guys, because these are guys that are and girls that are or guys and gals. I don't know who's in the group. I know there's a bunch of them.
Yes, and they're all chiropractors.
And they're all chiropractors, and they're all going through this postgraduate program that I get to speak to them. Well, who knows? They probably know more than me. But I'm just a guy who has been there, and they want me to speak, so I'm doing that. So, but it's a little scary, because these are my peers, and I'm going to tell them what I think or what my idea is on this. Well, that's a tough one, because they are right there.
Who leads the chiropractic community in Alaska to step up and speak out about the benefits of your profession?
Well, I think that we all do that in some way, and
okay,
we all do that with our patients every single day, and we all do that. The Alaska Chiropractic Society, of course, we try to educate our doctors so we can educate our patients, mm-hmm, and that is a big way to do that. The Board of Chiropractic Examiners is more of a governance versus education of the patients. So I think we all do that to some extent. But we'll have our biannual meeting in October, and that'll be a big thing. And we're having a big to-do.
And speaking of that big to-do, when the leaders of chiropractic meet here in Alaska, what are some of their major concerns?
Oh, there's always the insurance company concern.
There's always reimbursement concern.
We always have to take our ethics course. We always have those concerns. We always have our the couple guys that go crazy every year in some capacity that have done something wrong. But the main you think that there's going to be a main thing, but there's really not. And we'll have it's tough because when we're trying to educate, we have to give education for different things. We have to have our radiology. We have to have our ethics. We have to have our documentation. We have to take courses on documentation. I mean, it's ridiculous, but we have to do that. Mm-hmm. We have to document. So there's all the different courses we have to offer. And some we'll have laser. We'll have taping. We don't have a lot of adjusting, which is really weird. Nobody's really teaching adjusting skills. Dr. Foley signed up for the convention yesterday. He picked all his classes. I have not done that, and I have to do that, and I have to see what's out there. But I know there's a ton of different courses out there, and it's I like to focus on the good stuff, the radiology.
Absolutely.
And that stuff, yeah.
In what direction should chiropractic be moving towards?
The right direction. I think we should move on a direction of not crossing that middle road and staying on our side of the road and doing chiropractic. And the more we do chiropractic and the less we do other things, I think the more our profession will actually go forward and actually see a better outcome of our profession later on, because we are a separate and distinct healthcare. And if we try to go over in the other side and mix with the, you know, let's treat this and treat that instead of getting to the cause of the problem, I think that's going to be the biggest problem.
And just a little bit ago, you mentioned mothers and babies. What do you think about the state of children's health today in the 21st century? You've been seeing children since 1995.
Yeah. So I love seeing children. They respond well. We saw a lot of children yesterday. A couple of them spilled some coffee and some water on our front thing, but that's all right. So... But some Cheerios were floating around yesterday a lot. But what we see is the biggest problem I see is when we're giving that child a device and their chin is on their chest and they're just looking down.
Right.
We didn't have that when we were kids.
No, you know, we were
looking up and observing the world. Right now we're lack of observance of the world. It's you know what's interesting, when you see a kid drive and you're teaching them how to drive and they don't know where they're going because they've never looked up. And that's look up, man. Look where we're going, because when you get to drive, you don't know where you're going anymore. You have to rely on your phone because you've never looked around and saw what's going on. So I think the lack of influence of around and more of those cell phones and tablets and everything and just being completely influenced by that technology is tough.
As a chiropractor, are you the voice of a child's nervous system and spine?
Oh no, they're their own voice.
Okay.
I'd say I don't do so. I'm the helper to try to get that little spine going to make sure that tone stays correct. And I would love to be the voice. I'd love to be the guidance of all the children to say, okay, here's how we're gonna live, and here's how we're gonna stand, and
right.
here's our posture, and here's our nutrition, and here's you're gonna get out and exercise. You're not gonna stay on you're not gonna game all day. You're gonna go out and exercise. We had a kid. I don't know how many years ago. I'm gonna say 10 years ago. The little kid down the street. It had to be more than that. That was probably 10 years ago. And we said, he was over visiting the kids, and we said, aren't you going to go outside and play with the kids? I'm more of an inside kind of guy. It was pretty funny. He wanted to stay in and just, you know, do the gaming. Yeah, so it was, yeah.
How do you talk to children who are your patients about chiropractic?
Oh, I'm mean to them. Yeah, no, I like to have fun with the kids, but I'm a little bit, you know, I try to play around with them a little bit, but sometimes they take me right, sometimes they take me wrong. But I'll say, like just with the technology, I say, okay, here's how you have to hold your phone, right? And then I'll put their head up, and then I'll say, a lot of kids go, no, and they put their head down. I'm like, oh. So, but a lot of kids love to get adjusted. They'll fight to be first on the table with their siblings. Others... it all depends on the parenting style. And others, do you want to try it? Do you want to try to get adjusted today? What are you saying? Do you take the kid to the dentist and say, you want to try to get your teeth looked at? It'll be fun. No, direct your child and tell them this is, we're getting your nervous system checked. We're getting things checked out. Well, he doesn't have low back pain. Oh, are you kidding me? So we have to educate the patient, the parent first, because that's where it all comes from.
You know, I've marveled at your listening skills at all ages.
Really?
Are children worried about their world, and do they possess the stress that adults internalize also?
I don't think so. I don't think they worry as much as, you know, maybe a lot of the teenage kids are worrying a little bit more because they see it on the TikTok and they see it on the YouTube and they're watching, they're getting that dopamine dump all day long and they're a little more stressed out than they should be. I think a lot of the kids in sports are doing way too much and they're pushing way too hard, but I don't think they worry as much as we do. And we're going to worry about our kids no matter what age we are. My mom and dad still worry about me and I'm 50, almost 53 years old. And, are you eating right? You think, how's your belly? It's just my mom. Are you okay? She'll tell me from 5,000 miles away. Oh, you must not be feeling well. What are you saying? So, we have to really take our kids and make them not worry. We have to decrease their stress. We have to decrease their anxiety about disease and crisis out there. And I really do think we should really push for a healthier lifestyle of the children. And we know that we can do that. And if we're leading by example, we should be doing that.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, what kind of patients of chiropractic do you admire?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I admire the patient that takes their health seriously and actually wants to do things for themselves. I really like the people that are looking to get better and better and not just, well, I had the pain, I want to go on, I want immediate relief, and you know, can you fix me? No, I can't fix you, but you can fix yourself. And I like those patients that really take hold of their health.
I'll quit saying, can you fix me when I walk into your office?
Can you fix this? I can fix a cat.
When someone walks into your office, what are you observing or assessing before they reach the drop table?
Oh, the drop table. Dave's fearing the drop table. That's not a drop table, did you? So the drop table is when we have a table that actually has some drops, and Dave's like, oh, no, is that a drop table? I've heard about things. And a drop is actually lighter than an actual manual adjustment.
And so my voice doesn't go up that high when I say it.
Is that a drop table? It's funny what you observe, because you'll see patients come in, and like if you have acute tour de pelvis, we have a video of a young lady who was, her pelvis was on one side of the room and her head was on the other side of the room, and she was leaned over. Like, you ever see the what's that V8 commercial where they walk in and they, I should have had a V8, and they stand up straight? And that's right, but it's not right, because your head's always going to follow the horizon. Your eyes are always going to follow, so the head's going to be leaning off to one side. But when you have that condition, I'm sure people out there have had that, where it's like your belly button's on the other side of your body.
Right.
It shouldn't be. And we'll see them walk in. So it's kind of obvious what's going on there. And we'll say, oh, they got some acute tour de pelvis there. And we have to get to the cause of that problem and remove that interference and allow the body to straighten back up. And we'll see miracles that way. We'll see people that come in. Oh, here's an interesting concept. When you said earlier in the show, do you get to know the person? And when I walk into a room and you say, do I connect with the person? Well, we'll actually figure out what you're all about, right? So when you walk in a room and I'll say, what's the matter? Nothing. And I say, you're lying. And what's going on with you today? Because what is that stress? And then sometimes they'll break down and cry. Sometimes they'll say,
yes,
all right, you got me. Or they'll say, I got a headache. Or you know, they'll say, you know, something just is some kind of stress. But you can see when you see a patient on a regular basis, because it's just like you go to your medical doctor here, you have this problem. We're going to treat this symptom with these drugs. You're going to take these every day. Well, sometimes we'll see a patient on a regular basis if they're starting in their corrective care, or if they're seeing once a month care, but we'll get to know them over time. And when they come into the office, you kind of figure them out, right? And so that's when we deal with that. I forgot where I was going, but I'm going somewhere.
You're observing and assessing a patient as they walk into your office.
And we'll observe and we'll see what's going on, and we'll try to figure them out by their overall lifestyle and who they are as that person.
Does a person's head give away symptoms of, or they have problems?
Well, if it's off to one side or tilted, and that's part of our examination is looking from a person from behind and looking, do your ears, are your ears level? Are your shoulders level? Is your pelvis level? Does your leg turn out? And we kind of observe that and see what's really going on there. And that's all trying to get to the cause of the problem.
Why did you adopt that move bone technique as your personal style as opposed to a lighter touch as a chiropractor?
A lighter touch. Well, I don't know. I really do like feeling that movement of the. I know I'm getting something done. The toggle recoil adjustment is a fantastic adjustment of the Atlas, where it's you're laying on your side and there's a drop table of the headpiece, and it is an adjustment of the Atlas, and there's no cavitation of joint. There's no bone cracking going on there. It's a fantastic adjustment, and I thought I was going to go with that, but. Once I figured out that I really like to move the structures of the spinal system and actually get some movement that way, I don't know, but I adopted that, and that is the techniques that I use, and I'll tell you, I love it. It wears you out, man. It really is. It's bad for the shoulders, the back. I'm bent over all day long.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the greatest on me, but it's the best for the patient. That's what we try to do, give our patient our best adjustment every single time.
As a chiropractor who moves bone, is it hard to find a chiropractor for yourself with that same kind of force and intensity?
Dr. Foley's a little bit lighter than me because I'm a little bit, when people say, I want to see Dr. Foley, he's less invasive. And okay, but Dr. Foley does a heck of a job, and I rely on him for 20 years to make sure my spinal system is working correctly, and I have no further degeneration than I had 25 years ago, and so I'm living proof of that. Even after, you know, crashing a limousine in 1988, my disc is no worse than, you know, after the initial injury to that thing. Spine still looks good, curves still look good. And so if you're going to say, you can't stop degenerative change, I'm living proof. We have that. So Dr. Foley is one. We've had other chiropractors come get adjusted. We go to different places just because we're all part of the same community.
Right.
But there are some heavier-handed adjusters, and there are some lighter adjusters.
Does Dr. Foley talk to you like a patient?
No. No, you know, it's funny because when we adjust each other, we don't. Sometimes I'll say, my shoulder's killing me today, dude. I need to get adjusted. But usually we just go into a room and adjust each other, and nobody talks about what's going on with them.
Right.
Just find it, fix it, leave me alone.
I got to ask, when were you awakened to the spiritual path of chiropractic?
Oh, when was I awakened to the spirit? And after our last conversation last week or the week before, talking about spirituality and religion and chiropractic, that was interesting because I had to go back and I had to do some reading, and there's an anti-chiropractic book out there that was talking about D.D. Palmer and how it was a religion and how he was trying to make it a religion and be the leader. It wasn't true. A lot of the things they were saying wasn't true, weren't true. But I did go back and I did further read. But it was in my later years of study that I really started to think, let me reread that philosophy book on chiropractic and look into things a little bit different. And then when I got out and I graduated, it was the first 3 years of adjusting, and I was like, there's something more, man. So and then I went back and I did my philosophy degree. We were the inaugural group of that, and then in 98, and then another degree in 2000, and then so it was then, in earlier in my career, that I really thought there's something to it. And I didn't. Why don't I like doing therapies? Why don't I like putting patients on this, that, and the other thing for temporary relief? Why not? Why? What is that? And then so I got back more into that, and now I really like the innate intelligence, universal. And now the whole, you have to manifest it and put it out there in the universe. Everybody's talking about that. But when we talk about it as chiropractic and say there's a universal intelligence that created all matter and it always maintains it in existence, and then there's an internal environment and a thing called innate intelligence that your body's internal intelligence. Oh, that's weird. No, it's real. But every guru out there right now is talking about manifesting and putting it out there in the universe. Well, we've been doing that, people.
Dr. Kersey, what has society's automatic negative reaction to pain done to us as a society?
Well, it's a symptom, right? So pain is, if I don't have pain, I don't have a problem. Or if I can't feel it, if it's not broke, don't fix it. That's a tough one because we're basing everything on symptoms. We're not getting to the cause. We're not looking for prevention. We're not looking for an overall healthy lifestyle. We're just looking for the absence of pain. And Dorland's Medical Dictionary said that many, 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 many years ago. health is not merely the health is not merely the absence of pain or infirmity. So we don't need to have just the absence of pain to have health. We have to have all those emotional, physical, spiritual, chemical balances.
What is disrespecting a body to you as a chiropractor?
Just not paying attention to it. And I said to a guy yesterday, his father was a chiropractor, and he's either late 60s or early 70s. And he, he came in to get adjusted yesterday because he's still maintaining a chiropractic life. He's still getting adjusted. And his upper cervical region was super. I said, dude, your head's going so far forward. You're not paying attention. He said, I was looking at my brother the other day, and he was so far bent forward. His head was going so far. I thought that looked terrible. I go, you're doing the same exact thing. So when he's disrespecting his posture, and he's allowing himself to go forward. So that's tough, because we have to try to maintain proper posture. We have to try to maintain proper form to have proper function. So that's a tough one. Posturing is a huge part. So that was my point, posture.
You move about your world with tremendous velocity between two states. Have you learned to regulate that velocity so that at that speed in which you go, there's no damaging effect on your health?
That's interesting. So somebody said, how do you do it? I said, I just do it. Because now I'm in the groove of going back and forth and getting things done, and I kind of just do things, and I don't stress out about having to go back and forth. Like this weekend, I'm going to Wednesday night. I'm flying to overnight to Arizona. I'll rest on the plane, and I'll make sure I'm less stressed over there. I'll make sure I take my vitamin G, my D, and my zinc, and then I'll get there and I'll rest a couple hours. I'll see patients Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, and then fly to Chicago and rest after I drive a couple hours to Iowa, and then I'll speak on Saturday, and then I get up early in the morning, and I'll be home by noon on Sunday. Woo. So it's going to be a crazy weekend, but I know it's coming. I'm aware. It's not stressing me out. The talk might stress me out. I might have a little bit of anxiety there, but overall, I feel like I'm going to handle this well because I'm prepared for it.
Do you encourage your patients to take the full load of responsibility to the way of knowledge about their body, their health, and their...
Well, I want them to, but they're not going to. So they'll be a little bit more savvy on what's going on with themselves, and I'll try to look at all aspects of their life, because it is all those thoughts, traumas, and toxins that cause the subluxation, which is the misalignment of bone, putting pressure on a nerve, which is decreasing overall health. Right. So we want to make sure that our signs and symptoms we have, we want to know the cause, and if we can tell our patients how to prevent some of those causes, well, then we're going to be better off. And we'll give you, we give exercise advice all day. We give nutrition advice all day. We give postural advice all day. We give sleeping advice. A mattress. How many people are going to ask me about a mattress today? A lot. And what kind of mattress do you use? I said, bed in the box at Costco. Nice and firm. It's good. It's cheap. And then if somebody ruins it, I throw it away. So, we'll do that.
When does someone understand the meaning, the true meaning of chiropractic?
I don't know if I understand the true meaning of chiropractic. Years and years and years of study, I'm still learning the true meaning of chiropractic. And I think the true meaning of chiropractic is the true meaning of ourselves and who we are and what we're made up of and that internal intelligence. And I think that if we really had to understand who we were as human beings, that's a tough concept to grasp. I mean, we're just living, breathing, thinking individual. How is this possible?
Right.
What, you know, so and as chiropractors, we want to work with that internal intelligence, and that's what we're trying to work with. And it's an incredible concept.
If doctors try to cure diseases, what do you try to do when faced with the same?
Oh, so I don't try to cure diseases. I try to adjust the cause, and I want to get to the cause of why you had disease. Why do you have those symptoms? What caused it originally, and where are you on your health line from birth to death, and what are we going to do to help you? And if we can remove some of those interferences, some of those causes of all your diseases and diseases and lack of normal functioning, that's where we're going. So we're not trying to cure diseases, but we are trying to get to the cause of all disease.
Let me ask you this. Are you optimistic about chiropractic's future?
I am. Although the younger population seems to be putting a little, and it's always been that way. Like I was reading this morning about the older speakers of chiropractic, and they can just go on and talk about the meaning of chiropractic and on and on and on. We don't have that today. We don't have we have therapy talk, we have pain talk, we have all kinds of other things, but we don't have that true person of speaking of what chiropractic, the meaning of chiropractic, and that's a tough one.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. We'll return with Dr. Kersey after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, not only are you a doctor, but you are a businessman with an office downtown. Is that a good place to try and run a personal practice out of these days?
Well, a chiropractor said to me when I was going to go downtown, a local chiropractor has been around for a very long time, he said, going downtown is practice suicide.
Oh, boy.
No chiropractor's ever made it downtown. So I thought, well, we're gonna go into retirement down there. No, we're seeing just as many patients as we saw in Midtown for 20-some years mm-hmm. in Midtown, 13 in one location, one in the other, five in the other. But I love it downtown. And it's tough right now with the homeless population. Mm-hmm. And I had to hire my friend's security company to remove them from my front because clean up in the morning, now they're tagging me with spray paint. So we're putting up a fence. Hopefully soon, around the property,
the
just
perimeter.
Because we have too many people trying to camp out because we have a nice facility and it's a nice covered entryway and they want to sleep there and it'd be fine if they just slept there, but they're destroying it. So we have to keep them out, and they're showering in the spigots in the side. And so it's a little tougher, but it's a great place to run business. And we see a lot of Eagle River and Wasilla people coming in. And
yes.
There's a lot of a lot of valley. So we're in a location where you can come from east or north or south, and it's pretty nice.
How do you describe trying to maintain a building and its security 24 hours a day in downtown Anchorage these days?
It's tougher than it was when we first started. When we first started, it was great, and we thought, oh, we'll put a picnic table out back, and we'll have all these things, and we thought, well, maybe not now, no way. But so it's a little rougher today than it was 8 years ago, and I can't imagine it would have been beautiful mm-hmm. 25, 30 years ago. But it's definitely not what it was, and it is tough because it's constant traffic, constant foot traffic back through the yard, over to the front of the porch, and we didn't get any mail yesterday over the weekend. We usually get a little mail, and we're like, maybe they stole it because the mailbox is a little funny, and so destruction is not good to someone's property.
How do you feel about the future of downtown Anchorage?
I think it's getting better. I think we're going to clean it up. I think it's going to get better, and we had that downtown partnership, which was they're good, and it was designed for one thing, which didn't really do what it was supposed to do. But now it's good, and we can call those guys anytime, and it's working out. But I think as we go, I think it's going to get better and better and better.
You know, if downtown was a patient, what is the health of downtown today?
Sick. Sick, not well, but on the mend. And I think that we can do that. And if we all work together, we can do it.
Let's talk about Kersey Chiropractic. Where is your office located downtown?
We're downtown, next to the museum. So the museum's only like three doors away from us on 7th Avenue.
Yes.
And we are we're right there on 7th Avenue, 129 East 7th Avenue. And we have a parking lot. We have a nice little building. And it's a nice little practice.
Yes, in the olden days, that was a neighborhood.
Yeah, it was two houses. One house where our parking lot is and one house where our current clinic is, and an OBGYN friend of ours actually built it a few years before we bought it, and she left the profession and sold the building with everything in it, and so it was an opportunity for me to come down and actually make it a chiropractic clinic.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number?
569-9355.
Can you talk like Hippocrates?
I don't. How did he sound? He probably talked like this.
Dr. Kersey will join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversation Unlimited. I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.